Everyone, and welcome to episode 33 of season 9 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the Die Hard duo, Die Hard 4.0, and A Good Day to Die Hard, Die Hard 5, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Derek McDuff of the Underrated Podcast. Welcome back. Welcome to the show. Derek, this is your first stint on my show, so thank you for being courageous and wanting to actually come and talk about this horrendous movie with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here and talk about, like, as you said, a really bad film.
Yes. I gotta say, of the 10 movies that I've done, this is the worst. No question about it. But I'm doing it because I'm a completionist, and that's it. You know, you start off... Mm-hmm. Doing a series, you got to finish it. That's part of the movies by minute rule, and therefore, I'm doing it. I'm just doing it slightly different than I did the original Die Hard trilogy. So I'm glad to be able to at least talk about it, even if it's so bad. And we'll get there. We'll get there. We have plenty of stuff over the next few days to talk about that just don't make any sense. And I guess that's part of the fun. You know, that we'll be able to talk about stuff that make no sense. So, first of all, why don't you tell me your history with this movie and with the Die Hard franchise in general, since this is your first Die Hard movie with me.
Yeah. So this is, I came to Die Hard a little bit later in life. I was probably in my early 20s, I guess, when I saw the first one, that I'm thinking about it. I never saw it when I was a kid or a teenager or anything. It just kind of passed me by. It came out like a year or two before I was born, and then never saw any of the sequels, was aware of them when they were all coming out. And then so when this one came out, it was the first Die Hard movie that I was going to see in a theater. And because I had only just a year or two before seen Die Hard 1, I had never seen any of the sequels. So I went into this one in a theater having only seen the first Die Hard, which I obviously... you know, is an incredible film, and went to this, and I was like, what happened in those last, like, four movies that it went so far downhill so fast? I was just, like, amazed, because I was, like, I saw it with, like, my girlfriend at the time, and, like, her family, and I was just sitting there, like, do you guys like this? What is happening right now? It was baffling, and since I've seen the second Die Hard, but I never went back and watched 3 or 4. I know 3 is really beloved, but, yeah, that first one is just so good, and this one is so bad.
Well, you've never seen 3, Die Hard with a Vengeance or Die Hard 4.0?
I never have.
Oh, Derek, you gotta take the 2 hours for each of those movies and sit and watch them, because then you can actually, after you watch them, you can listen to my discussions on it, because it'll give you a lot more insight into those movies, too. But I can't believe... you're actually the first person that I've had on that's never seen those. Wow, that's impressive.
They're a big blind spot. Yeah, and the only reason I actually ended up seeing 2 a couple years back is because I was on a different podcast talking about it, and so I watched it. But I know McTiernan comes back for 3.
Yes,
Obviously there's the Sam Jackson of it all. So it's on my list to watch. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Well, you got to bump that up. That's all. Wow. Interesting. Fair. I mean, this is the first one I never saw in the theater. The second one I saw, I think, 3 times in the theater, but two of them were basically back to back. I saw it on, like, a special showing on the night before it came out, and then the first showing the day it came out, and then I saw it, like, a few weeks later for the third time. Die Hard 3, I saw the night it came out. Die Hard 4, I saw it the night it came out. Die Hard 5, this movie, never saw in the theater. It took me a few months till I saw it for the first time, and I've now seen it, I think, like 5 or 6 times, because because I keep trying to give it a chance, but there's no reason why this movie needs a chance. It's it just doesn't fit in with the Die Hard canon. You know, they should do what they did with, like, the Star Wars stuff, and just say, okay, that's not part of canon anymore, and that's it.
it doesn't count. Well, it's interesting, because I actually did end up seeing later on, like maybe a year ago, Die Hard 1 in theaters when it re-released. I think it might have been exclusively in Dolby, because I did watch it in Dolby, and I remember, like, watching, being like, this is incredible, like seeing it on the big screen, and just like with that sound and everything, and that just being so cool. And obviously, I did not have the same experience watching this one on the big screen. It's sometimes some stuff is lost in translation. I will tell you, this was just as bad on the small screen as the big screen.
Well, and they're two different versions too.
Right. Yeah. We talked about that a little bit before we
That's
recorded, which I didn't even realize. Like, I'm like, well, of all the movies that could get a director's cut, like, did we need one for this one? Like, does it really add anything to it?
Well, maybe the idea was is that they thought that it would actually be better that way. I don't know.
Well, because like
I don't know.
sometimes, you know, there's movies that are like I have legitimate problems with that you get a director's cut or an editor's cut or whatever, and it's like, okay, like this adds something to it, you know, like there's a Spider-Man 3 editor's cut that I think really improves that movie, but I'm like, this one is just beyond saving. Like, you could add as much or take as much away. It's this one's unsalvageable as far as I'm
That's right.
concerned.
That's right. Well, if you're talking about director's cuts, like, what do you think of, for instance, the Lord of the Rings director's cuts?
I like that director's cut. That director's cut feels like it's some cool extra stuff. It's, you know, I probably will watch the extended version if I have a choice, but it's not necessary. It
Oh,
doesn't like
I disagree completely on that one. I mean,
you don't like the theatrical?
for Lord of the Rings, I can only watch. I've seen the theatrical. Saw each of them twice in the theater. But once the extended versions came out, that was it. You know, like I can only watch the extended versions of Lord of the Rings, because for me,
Okay, I do think they're better, but I just think the theatrical also hold up really
they held up really well when you didn't have the extended version, in my opinion.
well.
You know, once you had the
Yeah.
extended version, you're like, okay, well, you know, now we have all these extra scenes or the extended parts of scenes, which help make the movie make even more sense. You know, because they fill in a lot of gaps and stuff like that. But
Well, it's
you know.
interesting because I was gonna say real fast on that because by the time this is coming out, I'll be able to talk about this. I can't talk about it as of recording, but now that but we're in like just a couple days from when this drops, I'll be at San Diego Comic-Con doing a panel about the value of director's cuts. So if anybody's in SoCal and you're going to Comic-Con, check me out. I think that it'll
Well, they would
be
have
the
already heard.
day at.
They would have heard you
No,
by then, wouldn't you?
because this comes out like 2 or 3 days before my panel, so I think so.
Well, what day is your panel? So you might as well
It's
tell
on
people.
Thursday the 24th,
Okay,
so
all right. So that's later this week. Today, right now it's Monday. So yeah. All right, so anyone at the Comic-Con, go to Derek's panel. Wow, that's really cool. Do they
yeah,
record those?
nice.
Do they record the panels, or usually not?
I do. I record it, so it's gonna be on my. It's gonna be a bonus episode, and it'll be on my YouTube.
Oh wow! All right, I will definitely be listening to that or
Oh,
watching it
thank you,
on
thank
YouTube.
you.
Because that's a fascinating thing, and you can say that you know about the Good Day to Die Hard director's cut, which
Right. That might come up on the panel, honestly.
you see, there you go. You can see I just was talking about it, and by the time we finish our three episodes over the next 3 days, there will be something that's going to pop up that shows up in this director's cut that isn't in the theatrical version of this movie. So, you know,
Okay, I'm very curious to hear about that. Yeah.
a little teaser. You have to wait until tomorrow at the very end of tomorrow's episode to hear that. So you have to wait, and everyone else listening also is going to have to wait just
Just
slightly, not too much, just a
a
little
little bit. Yeah.
bit. All right. So episode 33 begins with John continuing the chase and ends with Jack checking his ammo. So we left things off on Friday with a really, really strange, fun chase, but it just makes no sense. You know, that's what it basically comes down to. You know, John is chasing I keep calling it a tank truck with a Jeep. You know, he's changed vehicles, you know, after using his Jeep in order to use it as a monster truck by driving over a whole bunch of other cars and stuff like that. And so today he continues with the chase after having knocked the van out of the way, and the van is now driving off on its own. And John is just doing all he can to try and stop Alec from doing anything here. And you know, he just keeps ramming this Jeep into the side of this truck tank. And you know, Alec just looks to the side and goes, "I've had enough of this shit." And John just keeps ramming him, and then he screams at Alec. He goes, "Is that it? Is that your best shot?" Now, I love how the you have characters in movies that scream at each other when there's no chance that they're gonna ever be able to hear or understand what's being said. It's as if they want us to believe that these people are having some sort of shouting conversation when they're really not. And
Right,
this is
yeah.
a perfect example of that.
Yeah, they're just like shouting to themselves, just, and yeah, so that's actually a pretty good point that they're just these two guys yelling on their own with no possible way of having any dialogue.
No, none whatsoever. I mean, the windows aren't even rolled down.
Yeah.
I remember when I did Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, how many seasons ago? That was 7 seasons ago. So there's the point where people are screaming out of a window while they're driving down the highway. And when I was preparing for recording that episode, I actually did that. I rolled down my window when I was driving home that day and started screaming out the window, and nobody could hear me. It
Yeah.
wasn't 2 a.m., but still,
Yeah.
I was testing that out, testing the theory. And here he doesn't even have his windows rolled down, so that's more of an issue with the whole thing. And then John veers the Jeep once again back into the truck tank, and the truck tank hits like a divider and just completely flips over, and a lot of damage. Again, the one good thing that I can always say about this movie is that the chase scenes are done really well from a stunt perspective, even though they make no sense whatsoever.
Right. Yeah. This cinematography works. You can follow the action at least.
Yes. Most of the time. I mean,
Most, yeah.
last week we had a few episodes where it was a little difficult really following the action that was going on because of the way that the cars were just flipping out over one another and stuff like that. But again, when you're doing it in 5 minute segments, it's a little easier to
Right.
focus in on it and talk about those type of things.
Yeah, because we're here at the end of, it's interesting because I was thinking about we basically go in this 15-minute stretch that we talk about these three episodes from the very end of one action sequence, get all the exposition and character building stuff, and then it'll be as soon as I'm done here in my 15 minutes, it'll be to the start about to start the next action sequence.
That's right. But this one has cars and the other one doesn't have cars.
Right, yes, that's how you tell them apart.
That's right. That's right.
The other one has a slide in it.
That's right. And I mean, both the Jeep and the truck tank roll over a few times. It's hard to tell because of the quick editing that they do here. You can't really tell exactly how many times they roll over. So I don't even didn't even try. I tried once and that was it. I said I'm not even going to try in slow motion to figure out how many times they roll over here. And we just see people screaming, and then the truck tank flies off of the bridge that it's on and flies into a semi trailer, which has these huge cement blocks on it that it just shoots right into them and breaks the middle. There's like three, and it breaks the middle one by turning the entire semi on its side with the way
Yeah,
that
and
they
they're
do.
not even like blocks, they're kind of like full pipes. I don't know, like they're like or like big tubes, like I guess is the
Right.
best way to describe them.
I assume that those are probably used for I don't know, piping and stuff like that. I
Yeah,
don't know.
like some kind of irrigate like aqueduct or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it really like it just like it's a a good effect, but it like really smashes into that and the truck flips. And all I could think is there, I was just like, geez, John McClane just killed a ton of civilians. Like he just killed a
Probably.
bunch of people. Because it
Yeah.
is mayhem as soon as that thing goes over.
That's right. I mean, that's one of the things in a lot of movies you see it that, you see all these crashes and you don't think about the fact that, the protagonist is fine, the bad guys are fine, but you don't know about all the civilian casualties along the way. Like
Right.
the thing that always comes to mind is the beginning of Revenge of the Sith. When they finally crash on Coruscant, the General Grievous's ship, they plow through like a it's not really an airport, but they just plow through so many blocks that there's got to be tons of people dead. But no one cares. We were able to land, land the spaceship. That's the important thing.
And the thing that bugs me though, like with this movie specifically, and that is that like Die Hard 1 was so good about keeping track of like everybody and like really caring about all the civilians, and it's a lot more small scale, but it was just like you knew who everybody was, even the bad guys who died, you could really clock and keep track of. This one is just like
Well, of course you
people
can,
are
because
just
here I'll ask you a
dying.
trivial question. How many bad guys are there in Die Hard? In the original Die Hard?
Like eight or something.
No, on all the posters they say there are 12, but there if you count them there are 13.
Okay.
I used to have the poster on my wall that says, like 12 terrorists take over a LA skyscraper, and then I'm watching the movie and I'm like, wait a second, there are 13. Obviously they're not going to say a dozen plus one. They wouldn't say that, but it's just funny how they do that. But I mean, one of the things that I've mentioned numerous times about this movie and also Live Free or Die Hard is that the original trilogy of Die Hard feel like Die Hard movies, and then four and five are more, they feel more like action movies. And like, John McClane doesn't feel like John McClane here. He's an action hero. He's a Superman. He's a you might even want to call him like 007 or an Ethan Hunt or something like that. He's not John McClane here, and
Yeah,
I
he's
think
just
that's
Action
what it,
Man, you know.
that's right, for sure.
Yeah. And there's that good bit on The Office where, and he's talking about the fourth movie, but it applies here too. Like you're saying, Michael Scott's talking about, like, he's like, yeah, like in the first Die Hard movie, he's got like the fact that he has no shoes and like the like has to like get through like glass and like all this stuff is so important, and this is just like he's smashing through windows and falling out 18 stories, and he's fine. He'll just be like, ah, I'm a little hurt, you know, and he'll just get up. And like he felt like a real person in those first few movies.
Exactly.
And these are he's just like he's just like a superhero.
That's the definitely the way that you can look at it from here. And we see at this point that both John and Alec and his men they all just easily get out of these crashed cars, without any problem whatsoever. Like you said, there's probably a lot more damage to other people going on around here, but they're all fine.
Yeah, because it's like a huge pileup. Like, there's no way the driver of that semi is okay. Like, he is
No.
100% dead.
Well, again, and maybe he has superpowers like the other characters in this movie, and they're all able to get out. I don't know. We don't see a dead body there, and we don't see them get out either way.
And to further that, like, I know it's not necessarily the scene, but like there's so many just like faceless goons in this movie that like McClane just kind of refers to as quote unquote Russian bad guys,
Yeah,
like
pretty
that
much.
coming up later in the minute. And so that's the thing is like once again to compare it to like Hans Gruber's crew, like you see those guys, you know those guys, they all have their distinct personalities, and when like
And
one of
we
them dies,
know
his
the names
brother's
of
like,
and we know the names of all of them too.
yeah, and one of them's like,
You
my
have to
brother died,
forget. You
I
can't.
gotta get revenge, and this is just like
That's right.
shoot bad guys.
And then the shot changes, and we're back with Jack, who's finally able to get away, and he's going in the van. And then he looks up and looks in the rearview mirror, and sees the damage. I don't know how he sees all this damage that John just did because it's really far back, at this point. And then he does a quick U-turn, and he goes, "Damn you. Damn you, John." And then he turns around to go back to save John. He's upset that John has given him a conscience. That's what it comes down to.
He's just like,
And
gotta go
then
save my dad, who I hate.
that's right. And then we see John climbing out of the Jeep. He's like coughing a little bit and stuff like that. But that's it. He's got a little bit of
He's good.
a little scratch here or there, but he's pretty much okay. At this point, his I think his pants are a little ripped, and that's about it. That's like the extent
Might have some
of what
blood
he
on
needs.
his shirt or something, but yeah,
Yeah,
he's fine. He's fine.
right. And then we see Alec and the other Russian goons also just easily pick themselves up. I was in the back of a tank, but I'm still okay. And John tries to make his way to see what happened, and then he looks down from the bridge and he sees a police car show up, and he sees one of the Russian goons limping, and then the Russian goon gets up and just shoots the cops that are in the car. I mean, we don't get to see him actually hit them, but he shoots right into the windshield. So we know there's really not much of a chance
Yeah, is it Alex
that
specifically that's shooting them?
is it Alec?
I think it is.
Okay, no, right, you're right. It is Alec who's doing it. You have one of the other goons that's sliding away on the ground, but Alec's the one who shows up and sees the cops. Alec is pretty ruthless, no question about
Yeah,
that.
who by the way, I think, like, I don't know, I feel like he's the only character in this movie that really has a personality. And it's not even much. He's just kind of like smarmy, and he's like, I wanted to be a dancer. Like, he's like, I kind of like him because he feels like a person, as opposed to everybody else in this movie who just kind of grunts a lot.
True, but as my guest, I think last week, or maybe it was the week before. Actually, it was last week because it had to have been last week because last week we had six episodes and talked about all we've only talked about this movie since last week, so it must be someone from last week where they talked about the fact that most of these characters just show up for a very short time, which we're gonna come across some of those this week also, where it's someone who you think is going to be very important and then they disappear, and that's it. We never see them ever again.
Like the I get was it the talked about like the taxi the weird taxi
Yes,
driver who sings Sinatra and doesn't charge him?
we did talk about the taxi driver too. Yes, that was my good friend Jay's favorite character of the movie.
I guess he's the only other character that has a personality that makes no sense, but at least he has traits.
That's right. Or he's somewhat memorable. Most of these guys are just not memorable. Like Alec is not memorable, even though I agree with you that he's probably the most developed of all of the Russians here, even more than Yuri, because
Yeah,
Yuri's
I
a
would
complete
agree.
mess, which we'll get to also. But and then John sees that Alec is shooting, and he goes, "Hey, up there, up here, shoot up here." And then Alec turned around and starts shooting at John. And as he's doing that, the van with Jack and Yuri shows up, and Jack opens the window and says, "John, get in. Get in before I change my mind." And then John goes, "Jesus!" And then Jack says to him, "Take your time." He goes, "Jack, what the fuck was that?" He goes, "Shut up, just shut up, John."
Some real great dialogue between these two characters. Like, it's just
Oh,
like,
for sure,
it
perfect
feels like they
father-son
forgot to
bonding.
put in the straight man. You know what I mean? Like, they forgot to put in like the
Yeah.
like, or like they're both the straight man, right? There's no character. Like, they're both like, I'm gr like they're like, we'll have McClane, but McClane has always had like, here's the other guy he kind of plays off of, whatever. Whether it's, Jean Valjean, or whatever, he's got the guy he's talked to, and they're kind of playing up. Like, they're just both so gruff and like, that it doesn't make any sense or work. They're just like yelling at each other constantly.
Pretty much. And then Jack says to him, "I swear to God, I will put a bullet in you this time." What do you mean this time? Like what? He probably is talking about something that happened when he was a kid that he got so angry at John.
I thought he was referring to like when he like pointed the gun at him earlier, and he's like, "You're gonna shoot your father." Or
I don't know.
am I
Could
mixing up
be.
the two
Could be.
characters?
No, you're not. No, you're
Okay.
right. You're right. You're 100% right. It could be that's what he's referring to when he says this time. I'll put a bullet in you this time. Okay, maybe. Could be. And then John says to him, "Who do you think you're talking to?" He goes, "The last person I want to see." "Well, maybe you missed the whole part back there where I saved you and Papa Geppetto here from a whole bunch of Russian bad guys. You saved? That's right, saved." And then Yuri says something in Russian, which we don't really know what he says, and then John goes to him, "Shut up." And Jack goes, "Shut up. You're a world-class screw-up. You know that, John? I'm a screw-up. I'm a screw-up. I'm still your father. Yeah, nothing can do about that one." He goes,
See,
"What a joke.
it
Just
feels
shut up.
like
Try not to touch anything, all right? You've done enough goddamn damage."
it feels like they're trying to do like the Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade thing, right? Where they're like, and obviously that one he brings in the father. But then this one he like brings in the sun or whatever, so it feels like they're trying to like kind of capture that like back and forth, like, okay, here's the the get character, and then here's their son or their dad, and you kind of find out a lot more about them. They have this back and forth banter, but they have no chemistry, and they're just both written the exact way. Like they don't bring anything to that relationship other than the most cliched possible thing. It was like, dad wasn't there for me, so now I'm mad. And he's like, well, I was probably not a great dad. And like they're really trying that, but it doesn't work at all here. So they just have these ridiculous exchanges constantly.
No, you're right. It doesn't work at all. I think, and I've mentioned this before, but I think that Die Hard 4, the idea was to sort of pass the baton to Matt Farrell to become the new John McClane type of character, and that didn't work. So then they said, hey, why don't we do it here with Jai Courtney? Let's try that. And once again, that this one works even less because Jai Courtney, let's put it this way, as much as there are problems with the character of Matt Farrell, from a movie perspective, Jack McClane is even worse. That's what
That's yeah, he's not there's not much on the page, and unfortunately, Jai Courtney seems like a nice guy. He's not bringing much else to the role either.
No, not And then we get a shot of a traffic jam in the middle of Russia, like on the waterfront, which I don't know how that's connected to anything, because it's not as if we see Jack, realizing that he's now getting stuck in traffic or anything like that. And then the scene changes, and we're back with Chagarin, and we see him talking on the phone while he's walking, and he says, "The appointment is next week. We'll begin immediately." And then he gets interrupted by a guy next to him and says, "Excuse me, sir, Kamarov has escaped." And then he says into the phone, "I'll call you back. There's a problem with Kamarov." And he goes, "What happened?" "Some sort of attack on the courthouse." "Who took him?" "They don't know yet." "What do you mean they don't know?" "Well, it's confusing. I wouldn't say that they saw Kamarov with an American." He goes, "What American?" Now, this is one of the transitions that I love in this movie, because he says "one American," and then the shot changes, and the next thing we see Jack and John at the safe house, and the first thing that happens when they meet up with I guess you can say the handler is that he goes, "Ah, John McClane." So, you have the question of in Russian of "what American," and then the answer is immediately following by saying
There
"John McClane."
you go.
That's right.
Asked and
Now,
answered.
completely. Now, do you know who the actor is who plays the handler? Mike. Mike Collins.
No,
You know who the actor is?
I don't know. He kind of looked, he reminded me of Holt McCartney, and I thought he looked like him, but I don't know who it was.
Okay, it's Cole Hauser.
Oh, okay. I know. Okay. All right. I saw him in the credits and I was like, where was Cole Hauser in this? Like, I know that name. So, okay.
Well, he's only in a little bit today and a little bit tomorrow, and that's it.
Okay.
Well,
All right. That
wait,
checks
everyone can
out.
wait until tomorrow to find out why he no longer continues in the movie, but
Yeah. Spoilers ahead.
slight spoiler. Yeah, exactly. He's an actor that was in 54 different movies. In the 90s, he was, I guess you can say a part of the up and coming teen actors. He was in, Good Will Hunting. He was in Dazed and Confused, things like that. So, but he was also in later on. He was in Olympus Has Fallen, which actually is a movie that came out the same year that A Good Day to Die Hard came out. So at least he was in a better movie a little later on in the year.
I mean, it's hard
Olympus
to
Has
be in a
Fallen
worse movie than
is a
this.
fun movie.
That's a fun, that's actually a better Die Hard movie than this movie.
Yes, it definitely is. There's no question about that. And he's been in a numerous movies with Bruce Willis, which is very interesting. He was in Tears of the Sun with Bruce Willis. He was in Hearts War. So maybe he just got him. He says, "Hey, we're looking for somebody to play a small part in the movie who has like two scenes." So, hey, well, maybe you're interested.
It just throws him a bone, their friends or something. Yeah, I could see that.
It could be. And so I've always liked the name Michael Collins because it reminds me of there's two famous people named Michael Collins. Do you have any idea? Have you ever heard the name before?
I mean, it rings a bell, but nothing's coming to mind.
Okay, so one of the Apollo 11 astronauts was Mike Collins.
That's okay. Yeah, that's what I was. That's the one I was
Okay,
thinking of.
that's right. So, it's Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Mike Collins.
He was the
Mike
guy
Collins
who
was
never
one
went down. Yeah,
of
he
the,
was on
he
the.
didn't go down onto the moon, but he was the third guy that was up there. He was also an astronaut on the Gemini missions and stuff like that. And then there's another Michael Collins, which there is a movie about him with Liam Neeson called Michael Collins, where he was an Irish revolutionary in the beginning of the 1900s.
Oh, okay.
I just find it funny that they named this character Mike Collins.
Yeah.
You couldn't have tried to think of something a little more original. I don't
Right.
know.
Yeah. And it's a pretty generic name too.
Yeah, that's true. And Collins is quite happy to see them, I guess. And he goes, "Let's go after you." "Yeah, I got him. All right, I'm on it." And then Jack says to him, "Look, Mike, we had an unexpected delay. I'm sorry. I understand. This is the last guy on Earth I expected to see. Listen to me, Yuri. You have half of Moscow looking for you. I need you to get dressed. Why am I here? Please put on these clothes. Trust me. This is the key to your cuffs. Take those." And John just looks around and he realizes
Yeah.
something strange going on and he goes, "Oh my Jesus."
Yeah,
"Are you okay? What?"
this is the part where it feels like Bruce Willis just kind of like gets has he's like he literally feels like he's been dropped in from another movie. And like I know this
Yes.
is the one Die Hard movie that was actually written as like a Die Hard movie and not as like, a script for something else. But it does feel like they just like had this script and then just were like, we need to put in Bruce Willis. 'Cause he just like it's this whole other plot that he is not connected to at all, other than the fact that his son is there, and he just shows up and gets pulled into it. And like this is like I think the word that's most obvious because he's just like cracking wise and doing all
Yeah.
the like looking around like, hey, what is this place, man? I don't even know. Like you're in the CIA, huh? How about that? And he's just like I'm just like
Exactly.
he's very annoying in the scene in my opinion.
Yeah, and like, did you notice the three monitors that they have there that are showing surveillance footage?
I did not.
Okay, so we see that there are three monitors with we can see at least four keyboards that they all it looks like there's a lot of dust around there and stuff like that. Then we see one that says camera four, one says camera three, and the other one, it looks like it says camera two, might say camera one. I'm not really sure because of the angle. But each of them is apparently showing different times within seconds of each other. But still, you have one that's it says 4:31:29, one says 4:31:26, and the other one says 4:31:53. So maybe there's a time delay. I don't know. It just seems a little strange. You'd think that if these were supposedly live cameras, then they would be in sync. But apparently they're not. But John's starting to figure out that there's what's going on here. And then Mike gets a little assertive with Yuri. He goes, "You have the file on Shergarin." And then John just starts once again talking about this whole thing. He goes, "This is what you've been doing, Jack. Spy. This is it. You're a spy? Oh my God." And he starts laughing. Now, that's definitely the type of reaction you want to get from your father when he hears of what type of work you're doing, that and he starts mocking you and laughing at you.
Right, and it's like
So
he's like in the CIA, like he's like a spy. Like why are you like it's not like he's working at like McDonald's or something. Like why is he making fun of, like not that there's anything wrong with that, but like it's just like why would he be like making fun of that? It's weird.
yeah, it's very, very strange. And then he has a great line here. He goes, "The 007 of Plainfield, New Jersey."
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. So the city of Plainfield, New Jersey has 54,000 people that live there. And it was originally settled by Quakers in 1684, and it became a city in 1869. And it used to be a suburb of New York area, and in the end, it became its own township and town and stuff like that because it's not that far away. It's the nickname is the Queen City.
Okay.
And it was basically It had a climate that was beneficial for people who had respiratory ailments. And basically they started calling it the Colorado of the East, because the idea is that because it's good air for people who have some sort of breathing problems and stuff like that, it's supposed to be good for you there. I don't know. I mean, I'm from New Jersey, but people always make fun of the smells of New Jersey, so I don't really know. That really fits in with there.
I'm from the West Coast, so I couldn't really say.
Exactly. The two people that did jump out at me that are connected to Plainfield is that the actor Dudley Moore was living there when he passed away in 2002.
Okay.
And Robert Shapiro, the lawyer, he was, I think, one of OJ's lawyers,
Yeah.
was born there. You know,
Okay.
those are
Well,
the
that's something.
exactly. And then John says to him, "Very nice." And he just turns to him and goes, "McLean, shut up."
Which, like, I every time he calls him McClane, I'm like, that's your name too, dummy. Like, it's not like it's one thing where he's calling him like John, whatever. I know like his name is technically
That's
John
right.
too, but it goes by Jack. But I'm like, why are you calling him McClane? Like, you are
Exactly.
also McClane. It's weird.
No, he's not. He's Gennaro.
Oh, is
You
he
know,
okay? Because like
he
I
was
was,
Gennaro.
did he actually start going by Gennaro? Okay, because I
Yeah, of
thought he
course.
was
Everyone,
still McClane.
every member of the McLean family, besides John, uses the name Gennaro until John saves them, and then they change their name back to McLean.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, I remember that plot point in the first one, but okay. So,
Yeah,
because I
it's
never does is he actually like does anyone call him Gennaro or anything in that movie? Because I never hear him get called anything other than
in this
Jack.
movie there is I think we talked about it last week, that his dossier and his court transcript, I'm pretty sure it always said John, it said Jack Gennaro. I'm pretty
Okay,
sure.
so that's interesting, and I like that, but I feel like unless you are like a diehard fan or someone who is doing a Movies by Minutes podcast and noticing something that granular, that detail will go way over your head,
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, again, you gotta find things that are fun talking about. That's all it comes down to.
I mean that's like a good detail they put in. They should have made it more evident that he was going by Gennaro, otherwise it's weird that he's just like, yeah, McClane. Like it's just, I don't know. It's very strange to
Exactly. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. And I love John's response to that. He goes, "Take it easy, odd job. I'm on vacation."
Oh, that is also something that bugs me. He keeps saying that. And I think this
He
is the
keeps saying, "I'm on
first time,
vacation."
right? He keeps saying he's on vacation. I'm like, you're not on vacation.
This is not the
Like
first
this.
time, but it is.
Okay.
But again, his. It's funny when Billy Crystal says, "I'm on vacation," in City Slickers, but he does it once.
Yeah, and he's actually on vacation in City Slickers. He came to Russia to like find his son and extract him.
That's
Like
right.
he's this is not like he was just like if it would be one thing if he was like, I'm on this crazy of this vacation here in Russia. Oh no, all this crazy stuff is happening. That's not
That's right.
what the plot of this movie is.
That's right. I'm going to a dude ranch in Russia. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. And then John says to him, "Your mom will be pleased. We thought you were doing drugs or something." And he goes, "Or selling drugs. But that was me, really." He's letting everyone know that he doesn't have very much faith in his own son,
Right.
from this whole thing.
He's just being an asshole for no real reason. Like, I'm like, are you trying to impress the CIA guy? Are you trying to look cool in front of like Agent
No, I don't
Michael
think so.
Collins?
I think he's just really upset at Jack for whatever Jack has done to him over the years.
Yeah.
Later on in the movie, they do mention a few things about when he had to go bail Jack out of something, for.
Oh, right. Some vague fire.
Yeah, exactly. And while this is going on, so we still can hear Mike in the background trying to talk to Komarov, and he goes, "Mr. Komarov, you have the file on Chigarin? Yes or no?" He goes, "It's very simple, Yuri. You give me the file, and I get you out of Russia, and you're a free man. What do you say?" "This is not about me. I don't care about my life." "Well, that's the deal. It's the only deal. Come on. Come on, Yuri. Help yourself. What's it going to be? Yes or no? The clock is ticking, Yuri. Come on." He goes, "You will get me out of here? Only the three of you?" "Whoa, Nijinsky. I'm not in the gang. It's a great line from John, but it really makes no sense whatsoever. Do you have any idea who or what Nijinsky is?
No,
Okay, so
no idea.
Nijinsky. All right, that's fine. I didn't do that. I had to look it up. So Nijinsky was a Russian ballet dancer
Oh, okay. All right.
who lived from 1890 to 1950.
Okay, very, very specific reference.
He's apparently known as the greatest male ballet dancer of the 20th century, or the early 20th
Okay.
century.
All right, all right.
It's funny that John knows who Nijinsky is. Forget about the fact that we don't.
Yeah, that's good. That's how does John McClane, they're the most famous male Russian ballet dancer, but okay.
That's right. And so he goes, I'm not in the gang. I just got off the plane. I'm still jet lagged. I'm not involved in this. So, John just keeps trying to interject a little too much in all the conversations that are going on here. And as this is all going on, we see Jack in the background, picking up weapons, picking up ammo, pulling out passports. We see that he takes out some blue and red passports. Obviously, we can't tell what type of passports they are, but I did look up that Russian passports are red or burgundy. So the assumption is that he's got Russian passports and blue passports. But even if he has them for him and Yuri and possibly Mike, he doesn't have one for John.
Right, yeah. What's the
So
plan here? Like,
that's right.
well, is John just gonna be like, I'm still on vacation and just like disappear? Like, we're presuming there's probably no footage of him because that's nobody's after him really, like it seems like, or knows who he is. So he could just get off scot-free and just leave at this point, I guess, is the plan. I don't know.
Maybe. You see, I don't think this movie was really made with much of a plan set.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the problem. But that's how this segment ends. Did you have anything else that you wanted to discuss that we might have missed along the way?
No, I think we got everything that I wanted to talk about here in this 5 minute chunk here.
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to add is about Oddjob. So Oddjob is Goldfinger's right-hand man, his henchman, and he has this bowler hat that's razor-edged that he throws and he uses it to decapitate people and things like that.
Yeah.
But what I found interesting is in the original Goldfinger novel. So he actually dies the way that Goldfinger dies. He's the one who gets sucked out of the window of the plane, as opposed to
Okay.
Goldfinger.
Doesn't he get like inflated and pop like a balloon or something insane like that?
He gets electrocuted.
Oh, right. Okay. He grabs his hat and it's like between the things and then zap. Yeah.
That's
Okay.
right.
I'm remembering that. Okay.
Bond electrocutes him and then says, when he asks what happened to Oddjob, he goes, "He blew a fuse."
Yeah. And for me, from my generation, Oddjob is a very specific reference because I grew up with like the GoldenEye video game, and that was how you would cheat in that video game, was playing Oddjob, who was the short character, so he was really hard to hit. So like for like specific like you know it was millennials specifically, Oddjob is just like you're not allowed to play him in GoldenEye is like the number one thing. So I was like thinking, like, is that a reference to the fact that he's saying this guy is short? Like, that was what I thought he called him odd job. But yeah, interesting. There's two James Bond references in like this minute or two here.
Yeah. Well, no, it's connected because he calls him the
Oh,
007
yeah.
of plain view, and the next line is, "Shut up, odd job," that type of thing. So
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. But like
it sort
odd
of
job
makes
and
sense.
James Bond hated each other, so like they didn't work together, so it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
If you
No,
call him
sorry.
Money Penny, that would make more sense.
That's right. He's just take it easy, odd job. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Whatever. Exactly. All right. So today's segment is Top Cop, where my guests will give their top five movie police detectives slash policemen. So why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
Yeah, this was interesting for me because I'm very ACAB. I think there's a lot of propaganda out in the world, but I still was able to find five that I think are less problematic and more interesting. And my number five comes from Heat, which I love because it's a movie that kind of like shows the different that there's very few differences between this cop and then the bad guy that he's chasing, and how they mirror each other in so many ways. And I do think that the criminal in that movie, played by De Niro, is a little more interesting. But I still want to mention the cop, Lieutenant Vincent Hanna, of course, played by Al Pacino. And they have that great diner scene, like one of the all-time great movie scenes, is the two of them at that diner just like talking. It's incredible.
Yeah.
My number four is I cheated a little bit. I'm doing a two for one here because they're partners. They're kind of always on screen together. And that is Schmidt and Janko from 21 Jump Street and then 22 Jump Street, the movie versions. I think they're just absolutely hilarious. They play off each other really well. They deconstruct a lot of the, you know, tropes of cop movies in a particularly hilarious way. I think that Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill have fantastic comedic chemistry.
Very cool.
Number three is, I think people forget that this guy is, well, was a cop, because they're like, he's the cop. He's a cop in the first movie, and then he's like a former cop in the later movies. And the most famously, he's, you know, like, that doesn't really come up much, but he's still like former cop in the fourth one, which is the kind of my favorite version. It's Max Rockatansky, aka Mad Max. You know, he's you know, if you watch that first original Max movie before the world falls apart, he is a police officer. And I think like that history that he has of being like a cop in this kind of crazy post-apocalyptic world really plays into his worldview. And I think it's a really interesting way. And also, Max is just one of the coolest characters in movie history ever. So I had to put him on this list.
All right.
My number two is from Blade Runner 2049. And that would be Kay, who is, of course, the character played by Ryan Gosling, this character who is a cyborg who is tasked with, or a replicant, I guess I should say, who is tasked with hunting down his own kind and kind of discovering that he might be a chosen one character, and how he deals with that, and how he deals with, you know, there's this great scene in the beginning where he has to go hunt down a character played by Dave Bautista, who's also a replicant, and there's all this stuff like, what does it mean to be born, and he's just so fascinating, and his relationship with the Ana de Armas character, who's like a holographic AI, who's his wife. And it's like, it's just the, you know, there's been so many memes like now of him just like looking up on at that big hologram. I think Ryan Gosling is an incredible performer, and he brings so much to this part. So I really, you know, really dug his performance and that character in general.
Very cool. All right. And your number one.
My number one, there was only ever one choice, and I already had one kind of funny, you know, parody of cops on this list, but I could not go with anything else than Constable Nicholas Angel from Hot Fuzz. Like Hot Fuzz, that is such a good movie. Like Edgar Wright just like perfectly takes all the tropes of action movies, like all the things that like movie cops do that like don't like happen in real life, and just kind of like blows them up to these ridiculous, incredible proportions. He's just like such a ridiculous badass. Like the movie starts with like him getting reassigned because he's making all the other cops in London look bad. And just, he's so funny. And he's, like Nicholas, not Nicholas, what's his name? Simon Pegg plays him just like with this like ridiculous intensity that is so over the top that it becomes funny again. I absolutely love that movie. I think Edgar Wright's a genius. It's a movie I could go back to anytime. And for so many reasons, Nicholas Angel is just the best.
All right. Very cool. That is a great list. And you've chosen five people that are not on anyone else's list. So there you go.
Okay, good. I was worried about that. I tried to be a little bit different. I was like, I don't want to be too mainstream. Some of these might be. So I'm glad to hear that it's a first for these guys.
Yeah. Very, very unique. All right. And now we will play the game State Your Motto. The idea behind this is that Die Hard 4's title is Live Free or Die Hard, which Live Free or Die is the motto, the state motto of New Hampshire. So it's a simple game. I'm going to give you a state, and then I will give you three choices of what could be the real motto of that state. Now, all three of these are real mottos, just not necessarily, obviously not of that particular state.
Right,
they're from
right.
Other states. Okay, so today your state is Kentucky.
Okay,
so the first choice is United We Stand, Divided We Fall. The second choice is our liberties we prize and our rights we will maintain. And the third choice is wisdom, justice, and moderation. Which of those three do you think is the state motto of Kentucky?
That's okay. I'm trying to think, like, Kentucky, they're kind of southern, so I don't, that's I'm gonna go with the third choice. That's kind
wisdom,
of a guess.
Justice, but, and moderation? No, I'm
yeah.
sorry.
No,
not it. The answer is united we stand, divided we fall.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah. All right, excellent. So, Derek, would you like to tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. As you mentioned, I'm the host of Underrated. So if you look up Underrated Movie Podcast, however you're listening to this podcast, we'll be there as well. Or you just go to underratedmoviepodcast.com. It's got all the links to that. Obviously, I mentioned my panel. So if you're in Southern California, you're going to be in attendance at San Diego Comic-Con. I would love to see you come out and check that out. That's going to be on this Thursday. You know, you can also find my writing on places like Film Threat or WatchMojo.com, where I write about usually movies, but other stuff as well. On occasion. But yeah, definitely check all that out. Underrated Movie Podcast everywhere.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. Okay. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Oh, they're red, white, and blue, yeah. But it ain't me, it ain't me. I ain't no fortunate one.